finally, the free stretch has come back to broadcast media. Welcome and thank you for joining me. It has been a long time coming. I am Bobby Fenton, and this is the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. It is a pleasure to be behind a microphone. In this case, it's not a microphone like it used to be on the radio. It's my cell phone with grade A recording equipment, might I add. And it's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. Some of you out there may know me from when I used to be on the radio airwaves here in the Tampa area. It's been a little while, though. Many of you may never have heard of me. Doesn't matter. We're going to cover all that today on what I am proud to announce is going to be a recurring podcast here on JoeBucksFan.com, something we'll start posting every Thursday as we get ready for game week. Obviously, in this case, we don't have a game week right now. It's the bye week. We'll get to all that too today, but first things first, for those of you that don't know anything about me at all, my name is Bobby Fenton. I'm a Tampa native, born and raised here. I am 37 years old, lived here all my life, and used to do a radio show called The Free Stretch on various local sports stations, which don't exist or exist in other forms now. Most recently, I was on 620 WDAE on weekends. But even that was, man, I think almost 4 years ago, the last time I did that. You may be familiar with me from even before that, back on the old 1010 Sports. And even before that, back on 1470, which does now still exist on 1040 AM. These are all different things I've done that make me sound like I've been around so long I must be old. And yet, I feel like I'm just in my prime. I feel like I've never had more to say or been more prepared to say it, and yet having the radio show stripped away from me those years ago has left me without a platform until today. And this show is something that got put together because of the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com, who I go back with to when I was doing that radio show. These are guys who had my back then. They were huge supporters. They had my back another way, too, because I used them and leaned on them a great deal in preparation for my shows. Because you're never going to get better information, more up-to-date, more current, more fresh information anywhere on the internet than at JoeBucksFan.com. And as a show host, I can promise you that was a huge resource for me and has continued to be even after I've stopped doing radio. And so those guys, even back then, were guys I wanted a relationship with, guys I wanted to get to know. And, you know, a few years later, it kind of worked out. Hey, Bobby, you want to do a podcast with us? It took me about a millisecond to say yes. On a platform like that, with the reach Joe Bucks fan has, with the amount of information, the knowledge, the other people involved on this thing, guys like Justin Pulowski, who's a good friend of mine, who I go back with doing radio, Ira Kaufman, Jeff Cameron's a guy I've listened to before during some time in Tallahassee. We'll talk about that too. To be associated with all these people is an honor. So you may not know me yet. Those of you that do, that's great. We're going to catch up on old times. Those of you that don't, I want to be a part of this, and I want you to be a part of this, and I want to have a ton of fun, and I'm so fired up for today's episode. I've been thinking all day about recording it. And, you know, it's a little bit different than radio. Radio is live. This, I bang out the podcast kind of at my leisure. It's kind of nice. But I still feel the energy of it when that red light goes on. It's just a little red light on my phone right now. So I had a whole show all planned today. Before all this happened with Hurricane Irma. About what I was going to talk about. You know, the opening show. What does it mean to you to be a Bucks fan? What does it mean to me to be a Bucks fan? Because it's a really personal thing for me. Again, born and raised here, native. And I'm a fan of all the local teams, the Bucks, the Rays, the Lightning. I'm a graduate of the University of Florida, huge Gator fan. We'll get to all that stuff. But of all those things, you know, the Lightning didn't get introduced till I was in middle school. Rays, I was already in college when we got the team. And as far as the Gators go, you know, I enrolled there when I was college age, but as a kid, I was actually more of an FSU fan until enrolling at USC. So my point is, the only sports constant in my whole life, of all the things that come and go, that I can look back on to when I was a toddler, hell, to when I was in the womb and my mother climbed the steps at the Sombrero for the Chiefs and the Bucks in the pouring rain with Neil O'Donoghue kicking a field goal to win the game 3-0 and put the Bucks in their first ever playoffs. And I was in her womb at that game. That's how far this stuff goes back for me. And there aren't very many things in your life, if you think about it, or at least not in my life, that are the same now in my late 30s as they were when I was running around in diapers. Very few, and that's the way it should be, by the way. Very few things. But you know what one of them is? One of the only ones? It's me and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And so that's, I'm not just a media guy. I've been a fan of this team long before I ever did radio. I'll be a fan long afterward. And so this stuff's really personal for me. And, you know, you go through life, and I'll talk about this more next week since our first game is now next week. But you go through life and so many things change. You know, it means a little too much to you maybe when you're middle school, even in high school through there. Then you start getting older, you know, girls, all that stuff, eventually married, kids, job. And, you know, your priorities become different. And the Bucks have always meant a ton to me, but it's just different when you're older. And that's okay. But it's still one of those constants. And I take a lot of pride in it. And I know there are guys out there making tons of money, looking out for themselves and their careers. And it's not, you know, all the rah-rah stuff that we like to think it is sometimes. It's a business and all that and whatnot. I know all that. But just like you, so I got a feeling you're a lot like me if you're listening to this, and if you listen and read JoeBucksFan.com, it's something that no matter what's going on in your life, Sunday at 1 o'clock, or 4 o'clock, or even sometimes on those primetime games, those 16 three-hour blocks a year, there ain't anything else I'd rather be doing. And I can't, I look back, I can't think of ever, I don't think I've ever missed a Bucks game, either in person, watching it on TV, or even back in the old days of blackouts, listening to them on the radio. So next week we'll talk more about that, because there'll be a game next week. This week, obviously we've got Hurricane Irma and things have changed. And it's one of those things that right now, as I record this, and you know, this will be airing on Thursday. It's Wednesday night right now. I'm one of those guys with hurricanes, and I admit it. Being born and raised in Tampa does this to you. I'm like, you know, it'll probably be fine, because it always has been here. My wife, born and raised in South Florida, in Davie, right near Fort Lauderdale, rode out Hurricane Andrew at her grandma's house in Davie. You know, she's really like, whoa, hey, here's a hurricane coming. And she hasn't lived here that long. She's lived here for a few years since she's been with me. And I tell her, hey, you're in Tampa now. It's all good. It'll be maybe, you know, this always happens. The fringe tropical storm force winds or something. Garden variety, in my opinion. So I'm that guy. And I admit it. I totally admit it. And I also admit I'm not a meteorologist. And I know that this thing could change and there could still be a possibility we get stuff. And, you know, I'm not trying to say I don't have any respect for it. But when you've been around West Central Florida a long time, it's hard not to get a little complacent, and you try not to be, but until it happens once, and eventually it will, I hope this weekend's not the weekend, it doesn't look like this weekend's the weekend, but it ain't far from the parts where it's really serious to where it's not that serious at all. So, when they talked about what they were going to do with this game, and now we know it's going to be played during what was the bye week in November, so this is technically the bye week now, then there'll be 16 straight games. And you look at all the options, I hesitate to call out the people in charge of these things, because it's so easy to armchair quarterback, and it's so much easier to say something you would have done when you're not on the hook for anything, as opposed to really truly being in charge of, I mean, people who run things, whether it's your own business, whether it's making decisions on behalf of, you know, the school district or a professional sports league or whatever it is, it's a lot different when you actually have to answer for whatever happens. I'm just some jag off of my house. I can say, oh, hey, they should play on the in Orlando on Thursday. Just play it then. collect all the money for charity. What's wrong with that? You know, and if it doesn't work out, I'm not on the hook for anything. Like I said, nobody cares if I'm wrong. I'm just Joe Q Handjob over here in Tampa. But if you're actually in charge of something, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. A lot of people are looking to you. A lot of people's lives will be affected one way or the other, positively or negatively, based on decisions you make. And there's no one person in charge. I mean, obviously, Roger Goodell, the commissioner, has the final say, but there's many, many people working on this. But my point is, I hesitate to call out people making tough calls when I'm not on the hook for anything myself. That doesn't mean I don't do it. I just said I hesitate, okay? I still do it. I thought it was curious with this thing, and I don't know all the moving parts, that they couldn't have played. You know, I know they talked about Philadelphia. I know they talked about a few other places. I can tell you, I have it on good authority, that Atlanta was approached. Not for certain that they were going to do this, but they said, hey, what about your place? And the Falcons, rightfully so in my opinion, didn't want to do it. Just because any other year it would have been fine, but this is their brand new stadium that they aren't opening until week two. And it would be weird to have the first ever official NFL game in your brand new stadium be two teams that aren't you. So I don't blame Atlanta for kind of balking at that one a little bit. And again, apparently that was something that was talked about. I don't know how close it came to happening, but Atlanta didn't want to do it. Point is, now that they're playing on the bye week, I'm not going to get up in arms about it or anything like that. I'm not a National Football League player. I know a few players were kind of vocal about not wanting to do that. I think it can be worked around. I know player safety is a big thing right now. People are just going to hashtag. Everything's a hashtag now. Well, player safety. How can they play 16 games if they talk about concussions? Hashtag player safety. You know, it's one thing if you do it on the fly. They can plan around this. They can work days off in there. I'm not saying it's ideal, but again, I did think it was possible they could have done this week beforehand. But again, there's a lot to consider, and I understand why they didn't. So now that we're doing it this way, and we looked at Chicago for the opener, you know, the Bucs have been almost irrelevant. I would say almost irrelevant. To everybody else, they have been irrelevant for the better part now of a decade. And they made some noise back in 2010, Josh Freeman and all that. You know, other than that, I mean, the most memorable thing besides that, between 2010 and between Jameis Winston being drafted a couple years ago, I mean, what is the thing that stands out the most about that period of time? I honestly can't think of anything. Maybe it's Greg Schiano's guys storming the line on kneel downs. I think that's probably the most, like, seriously, if you want to ask some Buck or non-Bucks fan out there, hey, what do you remember about the Bucks from the past few years, pre-Jameis Winston? I don't think anybody would even be able to say anything that's not a Bucks fan. And even Bucks fans like us would be, oh, well, yeah, that time Schiano's guys used to kind of get a little bit chippy with the kneel down. Yeah, that's really. So, I mean, this was a franchise in complete oblivion for a while. And if you think about this franchise going all the way back, I mean, all the way back to its inception, there's a few little windows in there. There's 1979 to the early 80s. A couple play. Obviously, 79 was a landmark year, the first of its kind. And then you had basically the desert for, you know, almost 15, 20 years. Then from 97 through 2005-ish, you know, that was a good little period. And then since then, it's been the same thing. I mean, it really is two little windows. Late 70s, early 80s, and then late 90s, early 2000s. Everything else has just been nothing. Nothing. And again, the people outside, and I don't care what people outside the Bucks fan base think. I don't care about what somebody in the national media says about the Bucks, this, that, and the other. I don't get wrapped up in all that. Growing up in Tampa, you kind of get used to all that as a kid. You get used to opposing fans taking over at certain times when your teams maybe aren't doing as well, or even sometimes when they are, you get used to national media either not talking about Tampa or making some wisecrack. You get used to all that. And I could care less. My personal feelings on it, if you're not on board with this, beautiful weather, year-round golf, low cost of living, beaches, sports teams, a small town feel with big city benefits. It doesn't feel too big, but yet we've got all these sports teams, we've got the arts, we've got museums and all that stuff, concerts, they come here. You know, to me, it's the best ever. If you're not on board with all this, that's fine. That's fine. And maybe as a native, I'm biased, but there ain't nowhere else I'd rather live. And I know being now on a podcast, that's the other thing about a podcast. You know, on the radio, there's a certain listening area. Although I know, you know, you can stream things on the web now. But still, the majority of your listening audience is geographically near you. Whereas with Joe Bucks Fan now, I'm sure we have people all over the place downloading this thing, and we want that. You know, in this day and age, following a sports team is not like it used to be, where it was concentrated to people that live near the team. You can follow, I could follow the Milwaukee Brewers and be a huge Brewers fan here in Tampa if I wanted to. I'm not, I'm a Rays fan. But my point is, blogs, streaming, all that stuff, MLB packet, I mean, you can follow a team from anywhere now. And I don't know how many people the Bucks have following them in parts unknown, but it seems like a lot. I mean, I seem to hear a lot about that, whether it's Europe or other places around. I don't know. Point is, though, my whole point is, it's not about them, it's about us. And as a fan base, we haven't had a lot to get excited about in a long time. And getting excited about things isn't just about the end result. Because again, you could not make the playoffs and still have had something to get excited about. In 2010, I remember the Bucks playing meaningful games, which at the time felt like, okay, good, we're getting back to where we're going to be. Let's keep it rolling. How would I know in 2010 that the Bucks really wouldn't play too many more big games for about 5-6 years? You don't know that. Now we're on the cusp of a year that honestly, I mean really and truly to me, feels a little bit like pre-1997 when the Bucks had been in the doldrums for so long. At that point, it was my whole life, basically. I didn't even know what a playoff game was like. But I remember before 1997, even at the end of 1996, thinking, you know, every everybody says, oh, hey, they're going to be better this year. But you know how sometimes you like kind of really, really mean it? I remember the summer of 97 saying, you know what? This isn't like the other years where we always say they're going to be good. I really mean it this time. And I feel kind of traces of that this year. You know, it's Jameis Winston's third year now. They've been assembling people around him on both sides of the ball for some time. And then you throw in the free agent additions on top of that. The draft pick, O.J. Howard, you know, Deshaun Jackson. You look at our offense, you know, all things we'll talk about all year long. Point is, it really does feel like this, and you heard Dirk Cutter say it on Hard Knocks, this is the best team we've had since you've been here by far, said that to Jameis Winston. So, that's where I am as a fan right now. And it's been so long that it's easy sometimes to throw your hands up in the air. I mean, I've done it a few times, I'm not going to lie to you. I've never, ever given up on being a Bucks fan, I would never do that. There's certain things I can just guarantee you will be the case as long as I'm alive. Being a Bucks fan is one of them, which I think is kind of cool. But there's been times where I've been like, you know what, screw it. I'm not sure how much I even want them to win this game or not. It's not going to matter ultimately. It'll only hurt them probably in the draft. You know, I've gone to that place before. I don't like that place. I like living and dying with every snap, feeling like a playoff berth could hinge on this one third and goal from the eight, and can we convert it or not? That's sports, man. That's the fun of football. That's the reason I like college football so much, and we'll do some college football on this show too, because college football, your life flashes before your eyes every time your team, you know, messes up in the red zone, even in week two, and you feel like it could cost you your season. I think that's great. The NFL's not quite like that, but when your team is good, it's more like that, and I think it's going to be a lot like that this year. It was like that last year. Looking back at that Rams game, that Raiders game, I mean, the Lions real fine in the NFL. 10-6, 7-9, even 11-5. Y'all think they're that different? They're not that different. Plays, not even games, not even series, plays. Individual plays are the difference between that stuff. So there was a lot of regret at the end of last year looking back on all the things the Bucks could have done to win one more game and be a playoff team. This year, it feels like they're going to find a way to do those things. We have reason to believe they'll find a way to do those things. But when I look at the franchise history as a whole and where I am right now as a Bucks fan, you know what? Screw it. We'll do it today. Let's do it today. Forget about next week. I was going to save some stuff for next week since there's no game, but let's do it today. Think about what being a Bucks fan means to you. For me, like I said, you've got things in your life that change. When I was born, all Tampa had was the Bucks. There wasn't any other teams. There wasn't any other internet. There was only 28 teams in the league. The Bucks had only been around. I was born in 1980. They'd been around for 4 years. But I remember, even as my earliest memory is like 4 or 5 years old, I actually remember going to Bandits games. For those of you that are real longtime Tampa Bay folks, maybe you remember that Bandit Ball, Steve Spurrier, John Reeves, all that stuff. I remember going to those games a lot. I remember going to Bucks games a lot. Like I said, my mom was pregnant with me during the 1979 Bucks season, and she climbed up those steps. She did it for the Chiefs game that clinched a playoff berth. She did it for the Eagles game. That was the first ever playoff game here in Tampa, where they won. She did it a week later for the NFC Championship game against the Rams. She did it when she went to the airport and met the team when they came back from one of their road trips in December of that year. All that time, I was a little blastocyst in there. Go look up blastocyst if you need to. That'll be our word of the day here on the Free Stretch podcast. And so, again, I was born into it. And it all culminated all those years, you know, going through all the losing. And finally in 1997, which is still one of the most fun years of being a sports fan of my life, the perfect combination of a team finally breaking through that you followed forever and the perfect age. I was still young enough. I mean, I was so into it in 1997. You should have said I was such a tool, just like all of us were at 17. And in fact, my good friend Todd Rometta, if he's out there listening, he always had a great quote. A guy I went to high school with, a Jesuit high school. He said, everybody, literally every single person is a tool in high school. There are no cool kids. There's not, oh, this is the cool kid. If you're a high school student, you're a tool. The cool people are the people that know they're tools. And it's true. So back then, I remember I had like a little towel I would wrap around my waistband. Just picture this for a second. Yeah, again, 17-year-old kid. Not a girl in sight, by the way, which you could probably guess. I actually had a little towel like wide receivers wear. It was one of the giveaways at one of the games, and I would like tuck it into my waistband. And I wore like khaki shorts and a like Bucks polo shirt was what I wore for the games. But I tucked that towel in. It was some weird superstition thing. I don't even know. I'm not even superstitious anymore. But this is the kind of stuff you do when you're a high school kid or a middle school kid. You do stupid stuff like that. But 1997, you know, also it being the last year of the Sombrero Tampa Stadium, which will always be my favorite sports venue of all time. In fact, if a genie came out of the bottle and gave me 3 wishes right now, I'd use the first wish on going back to Tampa Stadium for one more game, just some sort of like reenactment. I haven't even thought about the other 2 wishes because I just would love to do that again one more time. But that was the last year there, going through the Bucks starting off 5-0, which, I mean, you got to understand at the time, we didn't understand what that was like. I mean, the Bucks hadn't made the playoffs in 15 years at that point, which was my entire life, but they hadn't even been like close. Like, I mean, they lost double-digit games every single year. They were at least, or at most, 6-10. So 97 came around, and oh man, I mean, to this day, I still look at my little We Believe sign here in my garage where I'm recording this, that they handed out the first game against the 49ers where Warren Sapp almost decapitated Steve Young. All those things. And then getting into my 20s, the Bucks win the Super Bowl. Obviously, we could do a whole show on that alone. And then through my 20s and into my 30s now, married, 2 kids, responsibilities. Sports plays a huge role in my life, and it always will. But I'm not nearly as, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say invested because I am invested. I don't take it home with me. I used to like take it home with me like when I was in high school or a kid. Like if the Bucks lost, like I was bummed out the rest of that night. I wasn't myself. I mean, I really like, you know, you do that when you're young, you know, and now when you get other stuff going on, it's perfectly natural to not do that. But I'll tell you what, a lot of ways I kind of miss it sometimes. I kind of miss taking it a little too seriously. I kind of miss being a little too into it. And when they're losing and they're not doing well, it's easy to kind of brush it off and say, ah, well, you know, whatever, I got stuff I got to do. But when they win, because I'm by no means a bandwagon fan, but hey, we've all got a little bandwagon in us, right? When they win, all of a sudden, it's the most important thing in the world again. Man, this is awesome. Man, this is fun. And it is. And like I said at the top of the show, the most special part about it to me is just thinking about the arc of my life, and you think about the arc of your life, or however long. And if you've been a Bucks fan just recently for a few years, hey, that's fine too. It ain't like you kind of, you know, it ain't like you jumped on when they won three Super Bowls. You're on the ground floor as far as I'm concerned, so don't worry about it. But for me, looking back, like at 37 now, almost nothing in my life is the same, except for that one thing, and it's a beautiful thing to me. And so, if I ever want to get emotional, if I was an actor, I've always wondered how actors cry on demand. You know, like when you're watching a movie or something, there's a scene that calls for like crying, and they're really crying. I mean, you can watch it. They're really crying. You ever wonder, how do they do that? Like, how in the hell do they do that? I used to think maybe they had like Tabasco or something they rubbed in their eyes, or I don't know what the hell they do, but they're really crying. If I ever had to do that, you know what I would probably do? I'm dead serious about this. I'd probably just try and think about Rondi Barber's interception return of Donovan McNabb to end the NFC Championship game in 2002. Like, if I do that, that's one of the things I think I might be able to cry on demand doing. And if you can find a way to care that much about something when you're young, then even once you're older and things have changed, you still care. And I do. And I love it. So, as we get set for another season, I'm going to do the same thing I always do. I'm going to sit down in my laptop. I'm going to type up my little fridge schedule because I never think the one in the paper is good enough. I have to have my own 8.5 by 11 with the little team logos I use. I cut and paste from the internet for each team we play. I'll do all that. I'll make my little X's and O's. X for a win, O for a loss, like my grandma used to do on her fridge schedule. She loved the Bucks. She loved the Bucks. And she lived to see him win that Super Bowl, which was really cool for me. I'll do all those things. I'll make sure I got my game day shirt ready, you know. And I used to go to every single game. Now with kids, I still go, but it's not every single week. I literally went to every single Bucks game played at Raymond James Stadium, including preseason, from 1998 when it opened, and even going into 1997 at the Sombrero. Every single home game from then until 2008. And what broke the streak? Honest to God, true story, what broke the streak, the only reason the streak ended, was because the Rays played in Game 7 of the ALCS on a Sunday night in 2008. It was the night the Bucks had a Sunday night game against the Seahawks, the night they inducted Mike Allstott into the Ring of Honor. Those two things happened at the same time, and I said, you know what? It's the ALCS Game 7. I'm going to go to that. The streak's going to end organically, and it did. And this goes through college. When I went to a year at Florida State, then I transferred to the University of Florida. A lot of people don't know that. So Tallahassee, several years in Gainesville, didn't matter where I lived. I got back here. I got my ass to that stadium every single game through 2000. Even after I missed that one in 2008, then there was a bunch more. I mean, it was something like 123 out of 124. That used to be how it was. Now, again, with kids now, it's not as easy, although my son is almost 6, and he's getting to the age now where the wonderment's starting to hit him. He didn't really understand much or didn't care as much the past couple seasons, but, you know, this past Rays season, I've been explaining what's going on the TV to him. He's getting into it. Now it's Bucks season. It's going to be the same way. And that's another thing. Man, I treasure that, because, I mean, if there's one thing about having kids, and I could do a whole show on having kids, we'll talk about all that stuff. But if there's one thing about having kids that's really cool, it's the wonderment and almost kind of getting a do-over on your childhood and seeing all those things through the eyes of a kid all over again. Because I used to think, I can't go back and see sports the way I did when I was 8. You can't. You can remember it, but you can't go back. But now that I have him, I feel like when I'm watching these games and I'm explaining rules to him and he's starting to pick it up, when he's asking me what the score was when he wakes up the next morning because he couldn't stay up late enough, little things like that that I remember doing with my dad, I'm seeing it through his eyes again. That is really cool. So here we are now. 2017 is underway. And it'll take another week to get it started, but I'm incredibly excited. I'm incredibly fired up. I'm really thankful to Joe Bucks Fan for having me on. And for me, football, and I love all the sports. I love baseball. I love hockey. I love golf. I love horse racing. The Kentucky Derby is one of my favorite days of the year. I mean, I'm not one of these guys who's like dialed in on just one sport. But above all else, there is absolutely nothing like this time of year, and there's absolutely nothing like the game of football. And for as much fire as it's taken, and some of it's deserved, and for as much as it's made me question myself, you know, with all the safety things and things like that. And let me tell you something else. Here's how much I love football. I'm 37. We know things about football now that we didn't necessarily know before. And I mentioned again, I'm 37. And so what do I do in the spring once football season's over? I play in a semi-pro football league for the Dunedin Pirates of the Florida Football Alliance. I run my ass down the field on kickoffs, and I block on kickoff returns, and I play safety. And people tell me I'm nuts. They tell me I'm nuts. They say, Bobby, what are you doing? Forget about what we know about the headshots and stuff and all that. You're 37. Last year, the oldest guy on the team besides me was 31, and all of the coaches were also under 37 except for the head coach. He was 38. And you know what I'm going to do this year? I'm going to play again. If you want to play football, by the way, this is real quick, if you want to play real football, and you've always thought, man, I'd love to get out there. I just can't, you know, there's no way a guy like me could do it again. Give yourself a shot. Go to DunedinPirates.com. All the information's there. Or email me. My email is BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter, @BobbyGameDay. I'm on Facebook, all that stuff. Ask me. Go to the website. Guess what, boys and girls? You can play football still, now. Season's in the spring. It starts in January, runs through April. We're going to start practicing here in a few weeks in October. A little over a month. So you can. I do that. I don't feel like I'm crazy. It just feels like fun. Now, if I shred my knee up or something like that, which I actually am concerned about. I'm not concerned about the head stuff. I'm concerned about a bad knee injury or something, or an Achilles or something like that. You know, I might be singing a different tune then, but fortunately last season, I was able to avoid that for the most part. So anyway, point of all this is, think about your life. Think about why you love football. Think about why you love the Bucks. Keep it in perspective, of course. Don't go home and kick your dog if it doesn't work out. But don't be afraid to get upset. Don't be afraid to get happy. Don't be afraid to get into it. Because I got a feeling we're in for a show this year. And even if it doesn't ultimately end the way we want it to, and how often does it really? I mean, even if they make the playoffs, then we'll just get excited about that and think we can win the Super Bowl. And if they don't do that, you'll still be, you know, it always ends somehow, some way. This is, what is this, the 40-something, I have to count them, 44th or 45th year of Bucks football? Coming up? Not that, no, it's like the 41st or 42nd, actually. Whatever it is, point is, all those times, obviously the one Super Bowl, but even in how many of those seasons have they won a playoff game? Just, to me, that's the basic barometer. Not just making the play, did you win one playoff game? I don't have to look it up, but I believe the Bucks have won a playoff game in, what, 5 seasons, maybe? Maybe not even that. Just looking back, I remember they won one in 97. Obviously, 2002, 79, that's 3. And like there was the early, they had like a strike season in the early 80s where they got in. It's 3 or 4 times out of 40 something that they've won a playoff game. Even if you count playoff appearances, it's still less than 25%. So it can't just be about that. It's not about that. It's about caring. It's about looking forward to something. It's about being at work on a Thursday and you look at the clock and it's 2 o'clock, but hey, Bucks are on Thursday night football tonight. They're in primetime. You got to bounce in your step the whole day. Hell, even Wednesday that week feels like a Friday because of that. Little things. It's about watching the game with all your friends. You know, you could sit alone on your couch and watch all the games, but to me that kind of defeats the purpose. I love to make a big deal out of stuff, put the TV outside when the weather gets nice, run coax from behind your wall through the door, up around the porch post or something to tie it down, whatever. I love doing stuff like that, having people over. These are the things we love, man. So, you can try, and again, you don't need an excuse to get together as friends, but tell me, honestly, how much easier is it during football season? You can tell your buddies to come over in June and watch, you know, the second round of Wimbledon at your house. How many are you going to come over? But hey, Bucks-Patriots tonight, Thursday night game. Come over, we'll cook some steaks, we'll have some beer, come to my house. Who cares if it's a work day tomorrow? Hell yeah, I'm in. That's why we love it. And so, as we set sail here, next week, and we'll talk more next week about all this X's and O's stuff and football stuff. We're going to do all that, but this week, let's have some fun with it. Let's talk about all the things that make us love this game so much. And I firmly believe it is still a great game. I mean, the NFL, again, has caught a lot of hell. Football as a whole has caught a lot of hell. I personally, with my son, I plan to let him play flag football until about the eighth grade. I don't think you should really be hitting and tackling before that or that you need to. But once, you know, at the high school level, I see nothing wrong with that. I think a lot of this stuff has been overblown a little bit. I mean, think about how many hundreds of millions of people over the years, think about how many people you know that didn't go pro or even go college and play 15-year career, just played three or four years in high school, just played for their high school football team and that's it. They're fine. They're not all going to get Alzheimer's. They're not all going to get CTE. I mean, that's where I am. So I think while there are definite concerns, I think people need to keep it in perspective. I still think it's the greatest sport in the world. Nothing strips you bare and tests, I don't even want to say your manhood, because there's women's football leagues too. The Tampa Bay Inferno is a women's football team. But nothing strips you bare and makes you confront your own character and your own personality traits more than football. And I've played baseball, I've played other sports and things like that. And they all do that. Sports does that, okay? But football does it the most. And there's a lot to be said for that. And I think it's important. So, as we get set now for what has turned out to be a bye week, I'll just tell everybody to stay safe wherever you're watching or listening from. For those of you that are in anywhere in Florida, really. And again, I'm Tampa Hurricane guy who always blows it off. And I'll admit something else here before we finish up. And I don't want to necessarily brag about this, but I'm not ever going to lie to you on this show. Let me tell you something right now. One thing I do promise on my podcast, and I was like this on my radio show too, total intimacy, okay? Total intimacy. I will tell you, I will bare myself. My wife will tell you that she has listened to my radio shows in the past just to get to know me better. Because even stuff I don't talk with her about, whatever reason, when the mic goes on, maybe it's because I can't see you all, maybe that helps, but I'll talk about anything and everything on the air. To me, it has to be that way. I don't know how you can do a show any other way. The minute you start performing on the air, whether it's radio or a podcast, I think you should be done. It's got to be personal. It's got to be organic. For me, that's how it's always been. So when it comes to hurricanes, for example, I'm that guy that gets a little bit excited when one's coming. I'm that guy, and I look, Category 5, nothing to joke with. I don't want a Category 5 storm to hit us, believe me. But I'm that guy when it's like out in the Gulf or something, and they adjust the track, and ooh, the track adjusted away from us. I won't say it out loud, but inside I'll kind of be like, I was kind of looking forward to that. I'm that guy with it. And listen, my wife, if she was here right now, would smack me across the face, because again, she was through Andrew in person in Davie. And she knew people whose houses got ripped apart. I've never had any of that happen. Tampa doesn't have that, or hasn't, since 1921. We hope that streak keeps going. But I'm an action guy. I'm an adventure guy. I like all the to-do. Hey, school's canceled. Hey, work's canceled. Hey, we're going to get gal. I just, you know, there's a buzz to it. I know I sound crazy right now, okay? If you think I'm a jack-off for saying this, that's fine. But this one's different. Like, this is a big one. This is not a Category 2. It's not a tropical storm. This is a big deal, and we don't want it anywhere. Whether it's Tampa, even if it misses Tampa, the East Coast, you know, there's a lot of things that could happen right now. But my point is, stay safe, have fun, enjoy the weekend of football. If nothing else, I mean, if you're stuck inside, depending on where you are, hopefully you got power and you can watch football. There's going to be a lot of that starting tomorrow night. My thoughts on Chiefs, Patriots, by the way, just real quick. I feel, and you look back at historically with this game that they've started doing, what was it? It definitely wasn't 2002 because they made the Bucs defending Super Bowl champions go on the road and open somebody else's new stadium in Philly, and they kicked their ass. But what was it, the next year or the year after that, they started doing this home game, Thursday night, primetime, Super Bowl winner gets to do the whole thing. And since then, I think it's 70% of the time the home team not only has won, but covered. So you say, oh, the Patriots. Well, I mean, easy. I do think the Patriots will win. I do like to place an occasional bet, though, so sometimes lines will come up on this show a little bit. And getting it up to 9 is a little high. I'm not going to make an official pick because I don't think I'm going to bet this game. I just don't like the number either way. I don't feel confident either way. Obviously, when in doubt, go with the numbers. And again, the home team covers on Thursday night to open the season as defending Super Bowl champions 70% of the time. I read that somewhere the other day. But I don't even care about that because you know what? I don't need to bet on the games to enjoy them. I'm going to enjoy tonight just watching football for real. You know, preseason's great. I'm not one of those people that poo-poos the preseason because it's better than nothing. I don't want 18 games either. So, to me, you can either have 16 games and 4 preseason games, you can have 16 games and 2 or 3 preseason games. I mean, you might as well have 4. Now, I don't think that's necessary. I think they could do with less than that. But I don't complain about it either. I mean, do you want to, the first weekend in August, do you want to watch a preseason game? Would you rather wait a week? You tell me. I'll go ahead and watch this. You know, I'll watch it. So, with all that out of the way now, though, tonight's the night. And then Sunday's the real opening day. When that 1 o'clock hits and it's just, you know, a quasi-orgasmic smorgasbord of every game you could possibly think of. It's going to be a lot of fun. Again, thanks to JoeBucksFan.com. Look for me in this spot weekly. If you want to tweet at me, @BobbyGameDay, you can email me, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. Anytime you got something you want to say, or a question you want to ask, or a topic you want brought up on the show, I'll do it. Let's have some fun. I'm an easy guy to reach. And I'm very honored for the opportunity. I want to thank our sponsor, the Dunedin Pirates, my football team. You can even be my football teammate, my real live football teammate, with pads, with helmets, the whole thing. Go to DunedinPirates.com and check them out. By the way, our head coach is Ernest Givens, who is the ex-Oilers wide receiver. Y'all probably remember him if you're, at least in your 30s. He's our head coach. You can play for Ernest Givens if you're willing to put in what it takes. And we practice, you know, once a week. Games are on Saturday. Anyway, you think about all that. You got time for that. Right now, let's get ready for week 1 in the National Football League. Thanks again to JoeBucksFan.com. Thanks again to all of you out there who offered so much support when I posted this earlier that I was finally going to be doing this podcast. I am so excited to be back on the free stretch. And I am sweating my ass off because I recorded this entire thing in my wife's car in our garage with no AC. Just because I needed to be able to just unleash. You know, I didn't want to be in the house. I got kids sleeping upstairs. I'm going to have to figure out something maybe a little more manageable for my future recording sites. But in the meantime, that is the free stretch. Episode 1 for week 1 in the NFL. I'm Bobby Fenton. Stay safe. Have a great weekend. And I'll see y'all on the other side. Good evening, good afternoon, or good night.